Ephesians 4, beginning in verse 8, these are the words of God. Therefore he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this, he ascended. What does it mean? But that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth. He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. So far, the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word. Ephesians 4, verses 8 through 10 sets before us Christ as the chief cornerstone. You remember that earlier in the letter, he had talked about the foundation of the apostles of prophets and prophets with Christ himself as the chief cornerstone, and described the church as building upon his word, but a word that specifically flowed out of Jesus Christ as the one from whom the apostles and prophets came. So that everything is formed by Christ, built upon Christ. And he's about here to say, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets. And he's describing now in the passages that we'll have in the next few weeks, and we're going to slow way down at that point. And he's describing the process of how Jesus builds his church. And it's actually the healthy church of the Lord Jesus Christ is very similar to what a lot of people, to some of the things a lot of people say or a lot of people think they want, but with different Bible definitions to what those things are. A Holy Spirit-filled church, an active church, an every member ministry church, a loving church. And all of those things are going to be worked out to some extent in verses 11 through 16. But the first thing is, it is a built by Jesus, on Jesus church. Christ himself, the chief cornerstone. He spends these three verses 8 through 10, talking about the incarnation and the ascension. The incarnation and the ascension. Now, I grew up reading and hearing actually taught verse 9, descended into the lower parts of the earth. Oh, that's Jesus being buried in the grave, the lower parts of the earth. A couple of problems there. First of all, you don't get buried that far down. And second of all, God has already used that language before in his word. If you turn to Psalm 139... and many of you are familiar with Psalm 139, I can't go anywhere to get away from God psalm, and the fearfully and wonderfully made psalm, and the knit me together in my mother's womb psalm. And you find out in verse 15 that in the parallel there with verse 13, that the Lord describes the womb as the lower parts of the earth. For you, verse 13 in Psalm 139, for you formed my inward parts, you covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. So this is something that the apostle is drawing from the psalm to say, how can it be that God would ascend on high? When was he ever not on high? In order to say he ascended and he gave gifts among men, it would have to mean that God himself had descended. And how low did he descend? Well, the lower parts of the earth. What's that? Well, how low did Jesus? He didn't just descend. into a cave. He didn't just descend way down deep in the dirt. He descended into the womb of a woman. He added creatureliness to himself. And he who is perfectly holy came to be in the womb of one who had to call her, she herself had to call God her Savior, because she was not holy like the one who is being knit together within her body. And so as the apostle is starting now to describe the means by which Jesus builds the church, apostles, prophets, evangelists, you know, word forming ministry, the gospel being taken to the first, and then pastor teachers, word proclaiming and applying ministry, and every joint in the body supplying something, every member in the body doing its part, and this glorious, growing, building church through the ministry of the word that we're probably going to spend at least 3, maybe 4 weeks in verses 11 through 16, considering. The very first thing he says, don't you see? God became a man to be part of his church. There is a sense in which it is the church that belongs to God. But it is also the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is not just a servant in the house, but who is the son that is over the household. He who is everlasting God, very God of very God, became very man of very man. Not just so that we could be one with him by faith, but so that he could be one with us initially, well, initially outside of time and God's electing love. Choosing us and the beloved that we would be holy and blameless. We heard that in chapter 1. But in the activity of redemption, initially by becoming man. And so Jesus was his own first and great gift. And all of these other gifts are given on the basis of him, through union with him, being he working through them by his Spirit. So when he gives Paul the apostle gift, or when he gives James or Jude, the brothers of Jesus, the prophet gift, or when he gives Mark or Luke or Philip, also Timothy, is told to do the work of an evangelist. The word evangelist here is broad. It goes beyond even the inscripturation, but those who tell the gospel for the first time to people. So when he gives those gifts, or he gives whatever gift he has given to the church in you, it is a gift to you, the role that he has given you. Look around, see every face. We pray at birthday times, and often in our prayers we remember how God is growing the people in this place through each one, even through the littlest ones. The Lord having given you a gift, but he's also given you as a gift. He hasn't just given you the role that you have. He has given what he gives to the rest of the church through you. And so the very first thing he has done is he descended and he ascended. And that way we see that this theme that we've seen a couple of times now, that that in Jesus, all things in heaven and on earth, that he is the fullness of all things in heaven and on earth. And then he turned that around, remember, that he made us the fullness of him who fills all in all. There's a different text. That we would be filled with all the fullness of God. He's calling our attention to the fact that the plan is to glorify Christ, that he might be the one who fills all things. And so he is the very first. He's the chief cornerstone of his church, so that we become a building that is built out of and grows out of him. We become his own body, his bride, who is bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. So that what's invested in the next six verses is how God has planned to glorify His Son through His Son's humiliation. Right? We love to quote and think about Psalm 2. Jesus, eternity, or equality with God, not something to be grasped. He humbled Himself. He took the form of a bondslave and being found in appearance as a man. And when you love Christ, you just can't wait to get to humbled Himself to the point of death and that on the cross so that He might be given the name that is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee would bow and every tongue would confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And the apostle is doing something similar here in Ephesians 4 to what he does there in Philippians 2. He's saying, don't you see how low Jesus came so that He might be glorified by this process that is being described in His giving gifts to men, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastor, teachers, every single one of you. So that we won't grumble about having to become theologians with our minds so that we can be theologians with our lives. But we will get to the truth-ing of verse 15 later. Just so that you can see what Christ has done and desire that He would receive the glory due His name. That we would participate, each of us, taking our roles in Hopewell Church. And receiving the teaching of the elders and the governing and the leadership of the elders. And, you know, it wouldn't just be, well, Jesus has said this is how He runs His church. It is how He said He's run His church. And it wouldn't just be, you know, well, Jesus has said this is how He teaches. Well, it is how Jesus has said that He teaches me. And it won't just be, and this is how Jesus guards me from becoming pliable and unstable, but it is how Jesus does those things. And it won't just be that Jesus says this is what love looks like, although that is what Jesus says love looks like, but that governing the whole of what is coming is this is how Jesus accomplishes and comes into the glory that He deserves for having descended first before He ascended. He's one who didn't need to ascend. That's what the apostle is saying here. Now, what does it mean that He ascended except that He was already? But He descended to become a man so that He could accomplish all of this in the church through His glory. So that as each of us takes our part in the Christ-designed way that he operates in His church, we would be participating in the one who descended, receiving the glory that He deserves for humbling Himself to become a man, to become a man who would die the death of the cross. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, many of us know in our minds that everything we do in the church is to be unto Your glory. We're grateful for this portion of Your Word that opens up to our eyes and minds and hearts the infinite condescension, how astonishing it is that You who are very God of very God would stoop down to create Yourself and be formed, knit together in the womb of a sinful woman. And we do desire that You would even help us to grow in our appreciation of the greatness of what You have done in Your humiliation. And that as You do so, You would grow our hearts in our heart's passionate desire that You would receive that which is due unto You in Your glorification. And we pray that as You do this for us and as we start to grasp more and more Your humiliation and Your glorification, that You would also keep us mindful of how our part in the church that You have appointed to us built upon this foundation of which you are the chief cornerstone, that this is part of that, you getting the glory that is due unto you for what you have done, and make us joyful and diligent, self-sacrificial, self-forgetful in all that you give us to do in your church, that we might participate in the way that is taught us in these verses. For we ask it in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.